Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. I am so glad you're here. On the Easy EdTech Podcast, we talk about technology integration. You'll hear tips and strategies from educators, and I'll leave you with a few big takeaways at the end of each episode. As a classroom teacher, I loved all things EdTech, and I started my blog, classtechtips.com, over 10 years ago to share my favorite ideas and spotlight new tools and resources. The blog is still going strong, and it's also where you'll find the resources from today's episode. So head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, to find the page for today's episode, or click on the show notes link in the description if you're listening to this episode on a podcast player like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. This episode is sponsored by Hapara, your all-in-one solution for powering awesome digital teaching and learning. Hapara provides tools for monitoring and filtering that teach true digital citizenship, instructional tools that make learning flexible and personalized, student organization tools that teach executive function skills, a digital reader optimized for K-12 learners that make all content WCAG 2.0 compliant, and content distribution tools to provide equitable access to learning materials for every student. To learn more, visit them at hapara.com/demo, hapara.com/demo. This week's episode is titled Minimalist Classroom Strategies to Set a Purpose This School Year with Christine Arnold. Now, Christine and I first met in Singapore it must have been about 5 years ago now, a few summers ago. We first met there with her co-author of her book, The Minimalist Teacher. Tammy Musiowski and her wrote a fantastic book. Tammy joined me on the podcast in the past. We'll link out to her episode. And she and I used to teach together. So when I went to visit her in Singapore, visit her school, I got a chance to meet Christine. And fast forward several years, Christine's here on the podcast to talk about her book, The Minimalist Teacher, published by ASCD. So we're going to go through some favorite strategies for keeping things simple. You'll hear about a special method, a framework that they introduce in the book. You'll hear some strategies that are great for kicking off the new school year, but ones you can take with you throughout the school year. So if you stumbled upon this episode, not in the summertime, but in a different season, I'm confident you will walk away with some great strategies you can put into action. Let's dive in for today's episode with Christine. Welcome to the podcast. I am so excited to chat with you today. And before we jump in officially to this idea of a minimalist mindset, I'm hoping you can share a little bit about your role in education and your day-to-day. What does your day-to-day look like?
Well, thanks for having me. It's really nice to be here and have another opportunity to chat with you, Monica. Yeah, so my name is Christine Arnold, and on the book, The Minimalist Teacher, I've written under the name C.Y. Arnold, but that's still me. My main job, what I spend most of my time doing, is I'm a grade 3 teacher in Maastricht in the Netherlands at an international school here. So I'm still in the classroom full time and trying to do my best with all of the kids in front of me every day. And then on top of that, we're doing, you know, as much work as we can around the book with my co-author, you know, spreading the word as much as we can about minimalism in education.
Wonderful. Well, you know, we had a chance to meet face-to-face in Singapore a couple years ago, and we did a fun webinar earlier this spring on, you know, the digital cleaning piece, on the classroom cleaning piece. And, you know, today we're talking about this idea of a minimalist mindset. What does it mean to be a minimalist teacher?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, sometimes there's ideas going around in pop culture about minimalism. So it is good to clarify what we mean in terms of education. So really, we're talking about streamlining our work. There is so much that can be done as in our work as educators. There's always new things coming at us, new ideas, new initiatives, more documentation that we need to be doing. So it's really thinking about streamlining all of that work as best we can and really getting refocused on our primary purpose, whatever that may be for you in your current context. So really focusing in on that purpose. And, you know, we spend a lot of time talking to teachers about how we can expend our attention and our time on what brings the most value for us as educators, but also for the students in front of us. So it's really focusing in on that purpose and getting back to the real ground level, ground roots of our work as teachers.
Yeah. And just, I think it's something that this year especially is front of mind for so many educators as they're thinking about how they want the new school year, right? Or the middle of the school year, depending where in the world you are, right? Listening to the episode this summer, right? What they want that to look like. So, you know, what brought you to embrace this idea of a minimalist teacher? Was it just kind of all the things or a specific moment? Would love to hear a little bit about your why.
I think, you know, Tammy and I, my co-author and I, we taught together, classrooms next door to each other. And, you know, very quickly we started having these professional dialogues about the work that we do and, you know, talking to colleagues, and we'd go and speak at conferences and things like that. And, you know, both of us collectively have spent quite a bit of time in education. And I think we've witnessed over that time more and more colleagues getting really stressed out and burnt out and leaving the profession. And some of these people are amazing educators and they're so passionate about what they do, but they have nothing left to give. And so a lot of these conversations that Tammy and I and our other friends were having was, you know, how can we support each other to figure out a way to keep doing what we love doing, what we're really passionate about, but not to the point where our lives are being eroded and destroyed and we have nothing left to give to the parts of our life outside of the school building. So I think that was a huge part of it. And I think, you know, as you mentioned, the current context at the moment with education, you know, post-pandemic or whatever else is happening in the world, you know, there's so much overwhelm happening right now and people are, you know, are really overworked. You know, I don't know if you saw, there was a recent study out of Australia with the Grattan Institute. There was a study this year and they surveyed over 5,000 teachers and 90% of those teachers said they didn't have enough time just to plan their teaching, let alone all the other things that happen in our work. So this is we're at like a crisis level point where it's sort of crunch time, whether we're going to keep these people in the profession or not, you know? So it feels really of the moment and really important for us to figure out ways that we can keep participating in this profession without, you know, really doing a damage to ourselves.
Yeah, you know, it's so timely and definitely, you know, at the front of a lot of the conversations I'm having with educators. And, you know, that's one of the reasons that I was so drawn to your work and this book. And you mentioned Tammy Musiowski, who I also taught down the hall from for several years.
Lucky us.
Both of us too. You know, and the three of us, we hosted a spring cleaning webinar, I guess it was April this year. And, you know, we know this idea of keeping things simple or doing a cleanup or a refresh, you know, is popular to talk about in spring, but it's not the only time of year that it's on the mind. And so, you know, someone listening to this episode this summer, or maybe catching it, you know, in the fall and kind of looking for a refresh, or they saw that word minimalist in the title and they were drawn to it, you know, what is something that an educator can do maybe during the summertime to prepare for the upcoming school year if their goal is to keep things as simple as possible?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if they're a teacher like me, I spend a lot of time over the summer just reflecting on my work and on my job and what I want to do better at. And, you know, you have those discussions with your teacher friends over the summer and things like that. You know, in the book, we talk about the triple P. And that's threaded throughout the book. And we're talking about our purpose, our priorities, and how we can pare down. So I think the summer is a really great time for us to really reflect on those things. What is your purpose? What is really important to you? And then think about your priorities. What are your priorities going into that year ahead? What are your goals? What do you really want to achieve? What is of the utmost importance to you going into the year ahead? And I know, depending on the context, you know, if you're moving to a new school, sometimes that's hard to identify over the summer because you don't know what is going to be your priority, but it can be a really good time to reflect. You know, and the other thing, just before summer last year, I did this free webinar. I think it was with Tisha Richmond, sorry if I've got that wrong, but she was talking about, you know, almost doing a little bit of data analysis on yourself and recording down, you know, if you've got a little bit more time left in your school year, or if not, it doesn't really matter, the moments or the times in your day at school where you feel joy, that bring you joy, bring a bit of that Marie Kondo into it. And then, you know, I actually did it towards the end of last year. And I could see the pattern of what I was enjoying in my work so quickly. Like, I didn't even have to collect that data for very long before I was like, okay, I'm getting my joy and enjoyment out of my relationships with the students and with my colleagues. That was literally everything I had written down was, I had a great joke with this person in the hallway. And I really liked when the kids shared this moment and things like that. And so that became a real priority for me for this year. How can I build on those relationships? How can I spread those relationships out and try and really focus in on that as one of my priorities to meet my purpose as an educator? So I would definitely encourage everyone to do that over the summer and really reflect on the things that are bringing you the joy in the work.
I love that angle to think about summer planning, right? Like, how can I get more of this, right? Great thing, or the thing that really sustains you throughout the year, right? You might have something, you know, that notes app on your phone that you're just like jotting things down over the course of a couple days or a week to say like, oh, I remember this fun moment or this just happened. And so, you know, especially for those of us who might have our phone in hand or pocket a whole lot, right? You know, just even doing a voice memo to say like, this is something special that happened today, and just kind of almost like banking those things so that you can say, when I have the chance to allocate more time, right, this is where I really want to spend it. And how can I remove those things that maybe aren't that helpful or that joyful,
you know? Exactly.
And we talk so much on the podcast about different ed tech tools and different strategies for using education technology. And, you know, technology tools definitely have a productive aspect to it, right? Maybe like the voice memos, but they can also make things feel complicated or not that minimalist, right? You know, lots of passwords to remember, multiple tabs open, you know, a lot of things that can make it feel overwhelming when we open up that laptop or Chromebook or scroll through apps on our phone. So, you know, do you have any tips for managing digital spaces or really helping keep things simple and manageable?
Yeah, well, first of all, I would like to point out that I am not the ed tech guru. That's not me. I mean, I do it functionally, but I'm definitely not where you are, Monica, unfortunately. but I think, you know, if we can go back to that triple P and thinking about your purpose. So, you know, we don't need, there are so many platforms out there. There are so many brilliant, brilliant tools, but we don't need every single one of them. Mm-hmm. It's not necessary to use all of them. So really, you know, take a minute and think like, what is my purpose in using this tool? Do I have to use this tool over something else? Mm-hmm. You know, to give you an example, we were just recently doing like a text innovation where we wanted the kids to create their own version of a text, you know, related to transferring their understanding of what we were doing. And straight away I was like, oh, book creator. I would love to do a book creator. But then I had to take a step back and say, okay, well, we don't have a school subscription to that. So then I would be introducing a new platform. I'd have to probably do the free one, which means we're limited to how many books we can do. So maybe that's not the best one. Okay, the kids know how to use Google Slides, but I don't have it set up as a Google Classrooms or whatever where I could automatically send it out to them. So I'd have to email it to all. Okay, that's getting clunky, you know, so that sort of thing. So we do have all of these different tools available to us, but we really need to take a moment and go, why am I using that one over something else? And is it going to be the fastest, most efficient, can the kids already use it, or is it going to be this whole process of teaching them how to use something new? All of those things have to play into deciding what your purpose is behind using that tool. And then my other tip, which is very relevant for my own personal life right now, is, you know, really, once you have a platform that maybe your school has decided you're going to use, actually really work out how to use that platform to the best of your ability. Your school is a Google school. Take the time to learn how to use that G Suite, you know, figure out how to use the Google keychains to save those passwords, and like learn how to pin your book, your tabs, instead of having like 50 million tabs open and things like that, because you will save yourself a lot of time and strife and your poor devices working overtime if you are constantly, you know, having everything open or having to flip back and forth all the time or losing your passwords and things like that.
Such great tips there. And I know, you know, we've talked on the podcast before about this idea. I sometimes use the phrase embrace your place, right? Like if your school is all about Google Classroom, like let's go for it. So that's such a great reminder to say, like, you might decide to learn how to do some of these quick tips, these efficiencies, which is something else we've talked about here with Dr. Cassidy Puckett before. And so, you know, I like that reminder that if you have a great idea, you want to bring it back to what it is you have access to. And, you know, that kind of clunky workflow that you mentioned, right? Like, how can I avoid or watch out for this clunky workflow? And maybe, you know, really be honest with saying, what is it that I'm going to pull in here? What is the purpose of that particular activity? And knowing that that's something that is, you know, front of mind for you too, right? When you are keeping things simple is such a great reminder. Do you have any, you know, favorite mobile apps or things that you like can't live without on your phone that help you like keep things simple? Or do you find that there are ones that you might recommend to a fellow educator in some of your conversations with them?
Yeah, I mean, I think it really depends on your context. So I went from a very Apple school, and we had one-to-one iPads. And so I dove right into all of that. And I had the Apple Classroom, and, you know, we would do, you know, right. It was really, really good. Apple Play on the big scale.
Right? Oh, yeah, right.
Whereas now I've moved to a school where we have more Microsoft things. We do still have some other devices and so on, but you know, there is a shift. So I think it really does depend on your context and where you are, and also, you know, the interfaces that you're personally used to and comfortable using as well. So, you know, it's all really context dependent, I think, unfortunately, but
very fortunately, you know, I think that's important to take into consideration, right? Like, know your contacts, understand what you have quick and easy access to, and maybe what's flexible enough to transfer, especially if you switch schools or your school, you know, takes on a new initiative and you have access to some things that might feel a little different, but maybe have some features that you can lean into because they overlap with those pieces. So, you know, Christine, you mentioned your book, The Minimalist Teacher, and you mentioned the Triple P, which I know is featured in the book. So can you tell us a little bit more about it? You know, you shared a little bit about what brought you into this work, but, you know, where can people find the book, or where can they learn more about that publication?
Yeah. So the you can go to our website, minimalistteacherbook.com, and there's lots of links on there to buying the book, but also upcoming events and articles that we've written and things like that. So that's all on there, you know, but you can just go to Amazon too. It's available through there, nice and easy as well. You know, I'm always happy for people to reach out on Twitter as well. I'm at CArnold005 on Twitter. Not hugely active on there, unfortunately, but, you know, I do jump on occasionally and check out all the good work that everyone's doing and the conversations that everyone's having on those networks. So, but yeah, hopefully the aim of the book is for people to really think about, you know, that Triple P and how you can apply it in different areas of our work, whether it's assessment, whether it's new initiatives, whether it's the physical face of the classroom and really bringing it back to those purpose and priorities over and over again. So hopefully everyone who picks it up will find something that is useful and easy to implement.
Well, thank you so much, Christine, for giving us such actionable tips and reminders about keeping things simple this summer into the upcoming school year. Anyone who's listening will be able to click and find links and see ways to connect with you. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me. Great to talk to you.
It was so much fun chatting with Christine on the podcast today, and I'll make sure to link out to all the ways to connect with her and where to find her book, The Minimalist Teacher. Let's finish up this episode like we always do. Let's make this EdTech easy with some key points from the episode. Set a purpose for the school year. Reflect on what brings you joy. Keep your tool belt light and watch out for clunky workflows. Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from this episode, including all the ways to connect with Christine, at classtechtips.com/podcast and finding today's episode number 170. A big thank you to our sponsor for today's episode, Hapara. They power awesome learning. They work with schools worldwide to deliver learning anytime, anywhere. From Chrome browser monitoring to content filtering to instructional tools that create true accessibility for every student, Hapara is your one-stop solution. To learn more, visit them at hapara.com/demo. hapara.com/demo. Did you like today's episode? Well, if you're listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or another favorite app, don't forget to hit the follow button. When you follow or subscribe to the podcast, each new episode will download for you automatically so you don't miss a thing. And if you think a friend or colleague would enjoy the tips from today, send them a text or email with a link to today's episode. They'll appreciate the tips and strategies, and all it takes is a quick message to make their day and their tech integration a little bit easier.